Hello and welcome to Haven, the young adult ministry of LCC Reading, a place where restoration through Christ can be found. You're listening to a message from our Sunday evening worship service, where we desire to rally young adults to the Word of God, the mission of Jesus, and the leading of the Holy Spirit, then release into our classrooms, workplaces, and families to rally others to Jesus. Enjoy the following message.
God, thank you yet for another Sunday evening to rally together as a family. To worship you, to celebrate you, to be reminded of who you are and what you do as creator, as all of creation sings out, Lord. Reminded as your son spoke, man, if these people don't cry out, even the rocks will cry out. God, would you guide our hearts and our minds, our eyes to see that, to hear that, to see how creation declares you as creator? And as we open up your word, Lord, and we look at some parts of this story, very simply, would you grip our hearts? Would you equip us in how to best serve one another? How to best love others? Show us our own hearts first, and then how to serve others second. We worship you, Jesus Christ, in your holy name. Everyone says, amen. This last week, I was at a local place in town getting some food with my family, and I love iced tea for whatever reason. I don't drink a lot of soda, so I was getting some iced tea, and they fresh brew their iced tea, and I got like the very last. You know when you got to like tip the thing to like get it? Anyone else been there? You got to tip it to get it out, and my cup was full. And at that point, I think I have a decision to make: do I let them know that they're out of iced tea and say, "Hey, your iced tea's out of order," or do I just put the lid on, go back, and enjoy my meal? How many of you guys would let them know that they're out of iced tea? Show of hands. How many of you guys are like, oh, I'll let them figure that out. I'm not really a people person. Kind of don't want to let them figure out. Okay. I think we have an obligation. I think we have an obligation not only to, maybe in this circumstance, to the industry, to the business there. I want that business to be represented well. I want that business to flourish. I want that business to be all that they desire to be in our city. I love that business. But I also want others to be fed and someone else to come up and receive from that IC what they desire to receive when they approached it, right? I think the same is so in our lives with one another as followers of Jesus Christ. I think we have an obligation as brothers and sisters in Christ to serve one another and to let one another know in love, in truth, hopefully built upon a strong relationship. We have an obligation to let one another know when we're out of order. When there's something lacking, when there's something missing, and a word that we could use to maybe describe this that some of you are just going to cringe even when I say it is confrontation. How many of you guys are like, don't say, I just don't like that. Anyone, show of hands. Okay. Confrontation isn't always a bad thing. I think it can be a very good thing and a fruitful thing, and quite honestly, I think it's probably very necessary in all of our lives. That may be the first step to restoration. And it doesn't even have to be person to person, but I'm even talking about the Holy Spirit confronting us and saying, Nathan, there's some things I got to talk to you about that's going in your life that you need to lay down before God the Father. The Holy Spirit may confront. It happens when you read through the Bible, right? You guys have read portions of the Bible, and it just feels like if it was audio, it's like screaming at you, right? If it's just like the words are in bold, it's jumping off the page, it's gripping your heart, the Holy Spirit is confronting us and saying, hey, there's some things I want to talk about. I was in high school, and I think I was maybe a senior, and I was dreading this conversation that I knew I had to have with one of my friends. He was a leader with us in the youth ministry at the time, and he was actually a worship leader. And so I asked him if we could go to In-N-Out and grab some dinner and hang out. And that was not like uncommon for us to hang out and like that. So I sat down with him, and just like just palms are sweaty, you know, knees are, I mean, Slim Shady said it all, right, in the 8 Mile song. But that's how I felt, right, going to sit with, I mean, it just, I didn't have mom's spaghetti on my shirt or anything, but it was just sitting, I know that I'm dreading this conversation. And I even started, I think, by saying, Matt, I don't even know how to start this, but there's some things I feel we need to talk about, but I hope you hear my heart in this, and I hope you understand where I'm coming from, and I hope you know that I'm for you. I'm for you. I'm committed to this friendship. I'm committed to this relationship. And there's some things that I see in your life, a pattern that I've observed, and I named specifics, and I said, and I just don't think that's who you want to be. I don't think this is who God's created you to be. And I also don't think because of your role right now, your position of influence and leadership within the ministry that we're involved in, I just don't know if like that's the best place for you to be right now. And it's like, what's he going to do? Is he going to punch me? Is he going to storm out? Like, what's going to happen? And he just listened. And he said, you know what, Nathan? Yeah, you're probably right. I think you're right. And although it didn't turn out the way I wanted, what I wanted was like him to just say, dude, I'm so sorry. I wanted repentance. I wanted like to see him restored. Instead, he chose to just tell our youth pastor, hey, I'm going to step down from leading worship and so on, and just continued to party and do what he wanted. But years later, in fact, last year, he was speaking at his church in town, and he came to me and said, Nathan, remember that time you stopped me at In-N-Out? Remember when we went to In-N-Out and you confronted me and you called out some things in my life, some things were out of order? I'm using that this Sunday. They were talking about it, and that was very impactful. I'm very grateful for what you did that day. I know I probably didn't respond like what either of us would want someone to respond, like full just restoration, but it spoke to me. It did something. I think all of us are wondering, like, how do we do this? Like, how do you even confront someone or say, hey, there's some things I've observed in your life that are out of order? And I think as we look at this portion of 1 Samuel chapter 12, I think we see a man of high character in Samuel. Say Samuel. Samuel is this man of God. He's a prophet. He's a priest. He was a leader of that day, gave messages of God, had a devoted heart towards God and the people of God, had been serving God and the people since he could just like, before he could walk, he was in there serving these people. And we see him kind of confront the people of God. And I want to look at some of the ways he does it. And I think that there are things that we can take in our life and how to do conflict or confrontation well with grace, with mercy, maybe with some tact, with some love, but ultimately with hope. We have to bring hope. We have to bring hope. But I think it doesn't always have to be this case, but most often you must possess a love for the person that you're going to be confronting. You must possess a devoted, deep love to see all of mankind restored, especially the one in front of you. You must have a relationship rooted in Christ-centered love, gospel-centered, sacrificial love. Relationships rooted in Christ-centered love builds bridges that can hold heavy, heavy weight, that can hold the heaviest of truths. If we have a relationship with one another that's rooted in Christ-centered love, that will build a bridge that will allow the heaviest truths to go back and forth. It's a two-lane bridge too, by the way. I don't just build relationships so I can tell you what you need to fix in your life. I build relationships centered on Christ that can hold the heaviest weight, so you can come to me and you can say, Nathan, hey, there's some things that I'm observing, the way you talk to your wife or the way you did your son or the way that you're leading this young adult, or when you spoke that, you had this tone or whatever. Like, I want that. I want that too. So I think one of the prerequisites maybe to even before we can have some of those heavy conversations with those that we love is we recognize and we have to have a deep-rooted love for those in front of us. And I think Samuel had that. I'm not saying it's completely impossible, but I think it's nearly impossible to address the sin in someone's life or a heart that's out of order in another person when we first have not even been given the right to speak into their life. I'm gonna share this just as like room for error or maybe even a hole in that statement, but this is super rare. There may come a time where, this is really rare, there may come a time where someone, the Spirit of God will speak something to your heart or to your mind about someone that's a complete stranger. Very rare. Very, better know it's God before you go calling someone out like that. But that can happen. But one of the prerequisites to even confronting someone or sharing with someone who they were created to be is a deep-rooted relationship. And reminding them that I'm for you. Remember, guys, remember, people are not the enemy. We shouldn't be fighting with each other. People are the mission. We should be loving and serving one another. But let's look at this. 1 Samuel chapter 12. And let's observe some of the way that Samuel did this. And if you have questions about maybe this topic or some of the passages that we're covering tonight, you can text them into the number behind me. And we'll try to talk about it. We record a conversational podcast every Sunday night with a few young adults kind of talking about some of the topics, and you can download that on our church app or you can find it on iTunes now. It just is live now on iTunes this week, so we won't talk about it in the service, but we'll talk about it on the after service. That could be confusing, but it's all right. Talk to me later. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Say Jesus if you're there. Say hold up if you're still turning. Come on, we had 10. Didn't you go to Bible college? We covered this like 3 weeks ago. You even got tabs on your Bible. Come on. 1 Samuel chapter 12, Ricky. Here we go. This is how it reads. Now Samuel, say Samuel. Now Samuel said to all Israel, "Indeed, I have heeded your voice in all that you said to me and have made a king over you." Let me give you some context for those visiting or those not familiar with the story. Samuel's a prophet, a man of God, a priest of God, and all the children of Israel came to Samuel one day and essentially, this is my translation, essentially said, "Yo, Sam, you're old, bruh. Your kids are whack. We want a king like all the other nations." That's kind of loose translation. Maybe you find that in the Message Street or something like that. But that's what they said. And so this is what Samuel's, he's just kind of reiterating what's happened. So Samuel says, okay, if you want a king, I guess he goes and talks with God about it. God says, Samuel, it has nothing to do with your leadership. They're not upset with you. You've been doing great. I love you. You're doing everything I'm asking you to do. Their problem is not with you. Their problem's with me. If they want a king, let's give them a king. We'll do this, okay? So now Samuel said to all Israel, "Indeed, I have heeded your voice in all that you said to me and have made a king over you." Verse 2. "And now here is the king walking before you, and I am old and gray-headed," he admits to it, at least, "and look, my sons are with you. I have walked before you from my childhood to this day." He's establishing his relationship, right? "Here I am. Here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose donkey have I taken? Or whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? Or from whose hand have I received any bribe with which to build my eyes? I will restore it to you." He's saying, hey, if there's anything against me, let me know right now. I want to talk about some stuff, but I want us to see each other clearly. And if I've done you wrong in any way, let me know right now. Verse 4. "And they said, Sam, you have not cheated us or oppressed us, nor have you taken anything from any man's hand. Then he said to them, the Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found anything in my hand. And they answered, he is witness." So Samuel said, gets them together, says, listen, we need to have a talk. But before we can even talk, I want to know, have I ever done anything to wrong you? Have I acted without integrity? Am I without character? Is there anything that you can see? I want to be at least open to the idea that I have blind spots. So is there anything that you see not right in my life? Not righteous, not holy, not dignified, not set apart? And they say, man, Samuel, yeah, you're right. You've been around since day one. We don't see anything. Okay, so just to confirm, you don't see anything in my life, right? God is a witness of this. Yeah, that's great. Samuel's establishing the relationship they have. Practical note, side note, coming, you know, if you're going to sit with a friend and you want to talk about some hard things, some blind spots they may have in their life, you may want to establish like, hey, I just want to know, establish whether or not you even have permission to speak into their life. Do you know I love you? Yeah, I know you love you. You know I care for you, yeah. You know I want nothing but, yeah. And you know I'm not perfect. Yeah, I know you're not perfect. Okay, I love you. And I want to share some things with you. And it's not easy, and it's hard, and it hurts. And one of the prerequisites to doing this is relationship. How do we earn the right to speak into someone's life? I think maybe number one, it's our character. Samuel is high character. Paul would write to a young leader named Titus. And I thought of this passage this afternoon when I was reading through this. Whoa. I'll read it. It might be better. Can you guys read it from where you're at? All right. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded. He's talking about leadership, how to be a leader. Jesus. Thank you. Here we go. Exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. You should have a history of good works. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility. I feel like this is Samuel. Can anyone else identify? Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. I don't know. He just loves people well, and I just hate him for it. I can't even think of something to say at this point, right? This is Samuel. High character. I think that might be a prerequisite. You want to earn the right to speak into people's lives? Consider who you are when you're not in front of people. Maybe even number two, I think maybe that Samuel's probably established in this passage is a sincere love for the people that he's speaking to. Have I not been here since the beginning? You know I love you. You know I'm not trying to get anything from you guys. Love. Samuel had both of these things going for him, and the people saw it. The people saw it. I think of this wordplay. I love this wordplay, and it can be a visual in many cases, but maybe even in this circumstance. You can't make withdrawals from places you haven't made deposits. I think of this, even in our Haven leadership team or in other relationships. If I'm going to ask something for you, if I'm going to withdraw your awareness even on your own life, I better have been making deposits into your life. I better have been planting seeds of love, of sacrifice, of service, of grace and mercy. And then as I do that, I might have an opportunity like, hey, I know you're like, this might be bad timing, but do you think you could help me with something? I don't, P.S. to the leaders here, I don't just serve you to try to get stuff out of you. Just want to establish that one, right? But you cannot make withdrawals from places you haven't made deposits. And Samuel may not have known that he would need to make a withdrawal someday, but he was committed to depositing his life, his love, everything he had into the people before him. So here he is, finding himself in a position where he feels he needs to make the people aware of some blind spots, some areas, some sin, maybe let them know that their heart's out of order, their life's out of order. So he gets them together, he essentially establishes, do I have permission to do this? They say, yeah, you're great, Sam. We love you, we get you love us, this is all awesome. So how do we then confront someone? Samuel would begin for the next several verses, begin to share what he's observed in their life. He'd be starting in verse 6, and Samuel will talk about, he'll outline who God has been to them and how God has provided for these people and their own heritage, their own history, starting back with Jacob, through Moses, through Aaron, through all the judges, even up into himself, giving them their own history. Samuel's just sharing what he's observed. Sit with my friend at In-N-Out, and I'm like, hey, Matt, listen, I'm not pointing fingers at you right now. I'm just saying this is what I've seen. Does this seem out of character for you? Does this seem out of order just in what you know of the you get to decide. I'm just telling you what I've seen. Jump down to verse 12. So he shares what he's observed in the history. Verse 12, Say, Jesus, if you're there. And when you saw that Nahash, king of the Ammonites, he's caught them up to present day, came against you, you said to me, no, but a king shall reign over us when the Lord your God was your king. See, their desire for a king, side note, Israel's desire for a king, I believe was ruled out of order, both in purpose and in sequence. There would have been a day where Israel would have a king. That was prophesied. That was to come. But the problem was they were pressing God's hand for the timing of that king. They were deciding when they wanted a king, when all in all, God was to decide when they wanted a king. So there was a sequence out of order, but there was also a purpose out of order. Their reason for wanting a king had nothing to do with holiness or obedience to God, had everything to do with wanting to be like the other people or thinking they deserved this. There was a heart issue. It was out of order. Maybe I wonder, have you been there? Are you then now? Do you feel like your heart is out of order? If you are there, if that's you, I want to assure you there's hope for you. We'll get to that. Verse 13. Now therefore, here's the king whom you have chosen and whom you have desired. And take note, the Lord has set a king over you. This is what you wanted, so this is what God gave you. Sometimes be careful what you pray for. If you fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and do not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then both you and the king who reigns over you will continue following the Lord your God. Verse 15. However, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was against your fathers. 16. Now therefore, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is today not the wheat harvest? He's talking about the beginning of summer. Samuel makes a proclamation. He says, listen, if you follow the Lord, everything's going to work out for you. If you don't follow the Lord, if you stray away from the commandments of the Lord, it's going to turn out very bad. And to even prove this to you, he's now going to call for God to do a sign, a miracle in this day. To even prove that this is of God, this is what's going to happen. He says, is it not wheat harvest right now? It's the beginning of summer. He said, I'm going to call the Lord, and he will send thunder and rain that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord, in asking a king for yourselves. Essentially, if I'm correct in what I'm saying right here, Samuel is saying this, then this is what God's going to do. This is going to happen, right? Verse 18, so Samuel called to the Lord, and sure enough, what happened? The Lord sent thunder and what? Rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. It had to have been God. Raining at the beginning of summer, that yes, God's in this. We are wrong. We are in fear of God. Samuel, help us. Last night, my wife and I were in Fresno visiting some friends, and it was like 100 in hell out, and we were just sweating profusely, and we got in the car, and all of a sudden some raindrops hit the windshield. I'm like, how does this happen? This is a miracle in this day. I don't know what to call that in Fresno, but God did a miracle here this day to prove to his children that I am indeed speaking through Samuel. So Samuel's established this prerequisite. We have relationship, right? Yeah, we have relationship. Okay, and he said, listen, this is what I've observed, not only in your day now, but this is a heritage thing. This is a lineage thing. There's been trouble in your family line with this. This is what I've observed. So now, how do we respond as followers? What do we do? How was I to operate with my friend in and out across the table? Let's look at what Samuel did, starting in verse 19. And all the people said to Samuel, hey, Samuel, we get it. We're wrong. Pray for your servants to the Lord your God that we may not die. Please spare our lives, for we have added to all our sins the evil of asking a king for ourselves. They recognize we are wrong. This right here, best case scenario, right, in confronting someone you love. When you say, hey, listen, this is what I've observed. They say, yeah, you know what, I am so sorry. Would you forgive me? Would you pray for me right now? Can we pray together? Best case scenario. Sometimes this won't always be the case, guys. Even as the Holy Spirit's leading you, hey, I want you to go talk with your friend out of love. I want you to talk with them. Sometimes their response won't be like what we see here. And sometimes that will hurt. Sometimes that will hurt personally. because you care for them and you want God's best for them and you're just trying to be obedient to what God's laid on your heart, and so it'll hurt you. And sometimes it will hurt you because you just see how it's destroying their life and who God has created them to be. You see the enemy ripping them off. Samuel gets a best case scenario here. Shares their observation, what he's observed, and they say, Samuel, we're in the wrong. Help us. Notice how Samuel responds. You know what he doesn't say? Well, tough luck, figure it out. I just want to call out your sin. Peace out, right? No, he helps them. He helps them with love, tenderness, grace, mercy, goodness, rallying them to the hope that they have. Look at this, verse 20. Then Samuel said to the people, he said, listen, do not fear. Do not fear. There's hope. Do not fear. Indeed, yeah, you have done all this wickedness, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart, and do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. 23. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king. Let me just fly through this quickly, just really simply. I'm not going to probably dig up anything you don't already see yourself. But let's look at the way that Samuel responded. The first thing he does is he leads them to the first step in an everlasting hope. He leads them to the first step in restoration. Look at verse 20. And then Samuel said to the people, he said, listen, don't fear. You're right. You did sin. He said, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but this is it. But serve the Lord with how much of your heart? All your heart. Yeah, the past is the past, but I want to assure you that there can be a beautiful future, and it starts with laying down your entire heart before the Lord. All sin is really, really a heart issue. If you want to change your actions, you need to change your heart. Not just some of it, but all of it. All of it. Sin really, before it's the action of a hand, it's in the attitude of your heart. It begins in the heart. Samuel's saying, listen, you really want to see restoration. You really want to see what's out of order put back in order. It starts with serving the Lord with all your heart. Let's start right there. He opens with hope. He opens with hope. He reveals the truth or the end game of what they are currently pursuing. If you want to continue in what you're doing, this is going to be the path. Look at this, verse 21. And do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. Sharing with them, listen, based upon what I've observed, the direction, the trajectory of your life right now, this is where it's going to lead. It's going to lead to emptiness. It's going to lead to a thirst that can never be quenched. It's going to lead to dissatisfaction. And I have to tell you, in love, this is where it's going to lead. The decision is yours. The choice is yours. You have hope. There is a future for you. But should you not choose that, should you not lay down your heart for Christ, then for the Lord, then this is where it's going to lead. He then follows that with their value before God. It's like, this is going to be a bummer if you choose it, but there's also this. This is going to be a bummer, but there's also this. There's always hope. Look at this, verse 22. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. As we sit with friends, with families, with coworkers, with peers, we have to remind them. In a conversation like this, we have to remind them how great, how much value they are to God. Reassuring them, I know your past is your past, but you are of incredible value to the Creator. He will not forsake you. You have so much value. He communicates, in verse 23, he communicates his commitment to them. This is huge. Both in prayer and in action. This is what he says. We should highlight this for all of us. He says, "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against" who? You guys can talk with me. Sin against who? The Lord, in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Haven, we should never give up on people. I think of what we have in the scriptures right now of Samuel's story. I think of, again, high character, high integrity that Samuel has. They just told Samuel, "You're old, we don't want you anymore." I think emotionally justified, he could say, "Cool, peace out, I'm done with you guys," right? But we're 12 chapters into this thing, and he's still around. He has not left them. He has remained by their side. He has continued to pray for them. He has recognized, should I cease to pray for you, I'd be sinning against the Lord. This is who God has called me to be, a prayer warrior. And not just pray from a distance, but Samuel's willing to get dirty too, to step in and say, "Hey, listen, I'm not just going to pray and hope you figure it out, but I'm willing to be available, make myself available to you, to do life with you, to encourage you, to show you the right way." In Jeremiah chapter 15, Jeremiah records this conversation with God, and God's talking about, he references how much of a prayer warrior Samuel was. And the context is like, depends on how you look at it. It might be negative, but God is saying, "Listen, even if Moses or Samuel were to pray to me right now, I'm not going to change my mind on this circumstance." And that to me just reveals the power of Samuel's prayers and what a prayer warrior Samuel was. Samuel says, "Listen, I observe all this. There's hope for you. There's value for you. And know this, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to continue to pray with you. I'm going to continue to make myself available to teach you." He exhorts them again in a step towards restoration, because really the thing that's out of order is not their decision making, it's their heart. Verse 24, "Only fear the Lord. I'm committed. I'm here. I'm going to pray for you. I'll teach you. But you have responsibility too. You need to fear the Lord and you need to serve him in truth with" how much of your heart? One more time. How much? All your heart, all your heart, building them up, letting them know that there's hope, but they have to take some steps. He reminds them again of who God is and his track record in their life, right? "For consider what great things he has done for you. Consider where he's brought your family out of Egypt. Consider how he's protected you even through the judges. Maybe even consider the victories you've already experienced under this King Saul. Consider who God is." We need to remind friends, family, peers, coworkers who God has been in their past and who he wants to be in their future. That he's available to them right now in the present, that he doesn't change. And then, like any good family member would do, he kind of closes maybe this conversation with just a stern exhortation, reminding them of the seriousness of their ways. And again, he leaves the responsibility to them. He says, "But listen, but if you want to do wickedly, you can. But you're going to be swept away, both you and your king." Now, why does Samuel take the time to do this? Why does Samuel take the time to come to a group of people who have already told them they really don't want him leading them anymore? Why should we take the time to come to those that we love so dearly and share with them some of the things we see in their life? And I think it's because of the hope that we have in Christ, and because no living, breathing man or woman should be counted out because of their past. As long as you're breathing, you have a hope. You have a future, and Samuel saw that. He saw that in these people. He wanted the best for them. And he chose to do something that was hard, that was difficult, that knew probably wouldn't be received well, but was wanting to be obedient to what God was leading him to do. And this is something we need to recognize in our own lives. Before we even begin to share it with others, we have to believe it in our own heart that although your past cannot be undone, your future is promising and untainted when it's committed to Christ. Your past may be your past, and you may even have consequences from some of the decisions you've made in your past, but when you commit your present and your future to Christ, when it's submitted, when you worship him with all your heart, man, it is so fruitful. It is so not measured by your past. God doesn't define you by your past. And some of us need to be reminded that the fear of your sinful past should not dictate the boldness of your spiritual future. Some of you are holding on to your past and allowing that to shape your future when God doesn't do that. That's not how God operates. When we serve the Lord with all our heart, our past washed away. Washed away. Washed away. This is what Samuel does. He comes to them. Worship team can come up. This is what Samuel does. He comes to them because he loves them, because he cares for them. He comes to them as a man of high character. He comes to them as a man who's rooted his life and invested his life in a relationship with them. He comes to them as a man of incredible integrity. And he comes to them because he has a high hope for the people in front of him. Do we have a high hope for the people in front of us? Whoever they are in front of us. Do we possess that same hope for the people of God? Do we possess that same hope for the people who have yet to give their whole life to Christ? Do we walk with a hope for those in front of us, willing to sit down and have the tough conversations? Samuel did. Samuel did. And the hope is this. Some of you might be here tonight feeling like your life is out of order, like there are some things that they're not working properly as they should, and maybe tonight is a night where you feel like God has been telling you, like, hey, I can refill that iced tea jug. You just got to let me know. You got to come and talk to me. The Bible says that if we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is King, that Jesus is God, we will be saved. The Holy Spirit will be deposited within our life and will begin to work within us, bringing what is out of order into order in submission to God when we serve him with all of our heart. And so maybe as we close this evening with some music, with some worship, maybe some of you here this evening would need to just take some time simply to pray. And I would describe that as just communicating with God, verbalizing what's in your heart, what's in your mind, and saying, God, would you forgive me? God, forgive me for trying to be king of my own life. And would you be king of my life? Would you bring what is out of order into order? Show me who you are and who you've created me to be. And I would just sit before God. I would pray a prayer, maybe similar to that. However you want to communicate to God those truths. And then maybe for some of us, there's situations and circumstances where you're the Samuel, and you know this next week or this next month, or maybe some of you students that are starting school, this next year it could happen. Chances are it could happen. And maybe you need to just spend some time asking God to prepare your heart, prepare your mind, that it would be fueled with love. Your tone would be full of grace and mercy and hope. But that also the heart, the mind, the ear of those that you'd be sitting across the table from would also be soft to receive, would know that you love, that you care for them. Or maybe some of us are here and wanting to take time with God, almost like the children of Israel. Not that they did this, but maybe we find our lives, we're committed to Christ, but we either know that some things are out of order or we're concerned. Are there things out of order that I'm not even aware of? And maybe it might just be you want to take some time to just sit with God and say, Lord, would you show me some blind spots? Where do I have blind spots in my life and the way I'm doing things? The way I'm serving you, the way I'm loving people. And we have a couple prayer teams, and I'm going to ask the prayer teams if you make yourselves available on the wall to my left and to my right. And as we're worshiping, maybe you would want to come and receive prayer from these people, and you're free to do so. But we want to facilitate some time to just worship God in song, to give you some time to just sit and ask God to search your heart, to sit and pray for the week that you have ahead of you. God, would you receive from us this time of worship, this time of communing with you, talking with you, sitting still before you? Would you speak to us, God? Remind us of your incredible love. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you want to know more about the ministry of Haven, follow LCC Haven on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Remain encouraged and inspired today as you have been anointed and released to rally others to the Word of God, mission of Jesus, and leading of the Holy Spirit.